today with the progress and sophistication of medical technology, we are embarrassed by death. And that is why grief is so difficult for us to swallow. We have come to expect that the means of extending life indefinitely should simply be within the grasp of our human capability. Now, we know that every civilization has sought some kind of way to achieve immortality, and yet none has ever discovered the fountain of youth. And so death is begrudgingly held as being inevitable. Today, of course, we face an epidemic of serious and fatal proportion called AIDS. It's another reason why we become acutely aware of our mortality. Today, there's hardly a magazine or a talk show or a newscast that has not spent time over and over again discussing these frightening facts of the disease. And there's always that bottom line to all of the discussions and exposés. No one has survived. Death is inevitable. But in every death, from whatever cause, there is always that universal quality of feeling cheated. Death becomes a kind of absurdity that we would rather ignore. But in all the complexities of our human existence, death is a common denominator, and it is the bottom line. Today, on this feast day of All Souls, we are confronted by death, by the reminder of all those who have gone on before us. Some, we know, were marked by the sign of faith. But today, we remember all those who have died, even those who have died alone, unloved, and unmourned. And this memory, this calling to mind, helps to make those who have died present to us once again. Remembrance, memory. But now, on All Souls Day, we do more than remember and pray for the dead. Today, we think about life. Today, we think about the quality of our living here and now. Now, death is embarrassing because it forces us to consider how precious is the life that we live, and that the supply is not inexhaustible. This confrontation with death, and even the memory of it, can create for some people feelings of loneliness and fear and despair. But those memories also confront us with this deep human need to love. Now, remembering today at All Souls allows any kind of painful experience of death to become an open gateway to the unlimited love of God to rush into us. That's memory and remembering, opening up the floodgates to God's love for us. And that is the meaning of those beautiful words from the first reading today from Lamentations. I will call this to mind as my reason to always have hope. The favors of the Lord are never exhausted. His mercies are never spent. The favors of the Lord are renewed for us each morning. Each morning we rise from sleep. They are still there. So great is the faithfulness of our God. And then St. Paul speaks in the Christian context. In baptism, he says, we are buried with Christ now, and we have been united with him in his death. Someday, even in our death, we will be united with Christ in his resurrection. Now, here's the heart of the matter. What does it mean to be united with Christ? There's a bumper sticker around nowadays that reads, "There is nothing left to die for." It's so reminiscent of the current heroic opportunity, the loss that people feel, that no longer is there any opportunity today to do something heroic. Today is the age of hype and superstars, and heroics today have to do with flash and glitter and money. People today are famous for about 15 minutes and then it's gone. But as so many people have said, you cannot take them with you to the grave. The flash and the glitter and the money. What seems to be left then for so many people is this crushing reality of how very ordinary our lives really are. The unspectacular quality of our human existence. And yet, that's the heart of the matter. It is precisely in this so-called unspectacular quality of life that we are able to find meaning in life and in death. It is found in our personal identity with Christ's death on the cross, which is stated in that carefully constructed paradox that today haunts us, haunting memory. The person who would preserve life will lose it. And whoever loses life for my sake will find it, says the Lord. Finding something to die for has to do with the quality of our lives. Finding something to die for has to do with how we live our lives. It means that St. Paul meant that the cross of Jesus Christ must touch each of us personally. In baptism, each of us became his disciple. It means that our dying becomes a ceaseless, daily, day in and day out, dying to self-centeredness and rising to new life. It's a movement to continual new life through death, every day death. Now, what is the cross that we take up daily? It's so easy for people today to go on talking about Appalachia and South Africa and Calcutta. But you see, they're so far away. Where is your honest-to-God personal sharing in the cross of Jesus Christ? Words today have less and less meaning. There is so much rhetoric today that Christianity has become like reading a book review rather than absorbing the book itself. When you're finished with a book review, you think you know something about Christianity, and you discover you have not even begun to experience it. And yet it comes from addressing questions such as these today. Are we people today built for comfort, which seems to be the goal of people's lives? What keeps us from achieving the kind of wholeness that we so deeply yearn for? What is it that does matter most in your lives? In whom do you really see Christ? Those who are not attractive? What will happen when the AIDS epidemic spreads to the catastrophe that it could become? Will you, anyone here, wash the feet of the victims of AIDS and discover Jesus Christ in them? Because that's where he lives, in people like that. In other words, our faith has to do with works. The cross that we are called upon to carry has to do with how our faith works in daily life. The wonderful book by Edward Hayes entitled Secular Sanctity, How to Discover Wholeness in the Real World. And he says there are two duties above all that are essential to becoming a disciple. He says the first is the need to embrace discipline in life, not only in theory but in practice. The second, he says, is to fall in love with death. Now both are unpleasant realities. Discipline sounds bad to most Americans, if not unreasonable. And yet an athlete knows discipline, a good musician knows discipline, Catholics do in their Lenten fasts. And for all of us in the real world, a good part of our daily life is precisely discipline. Now the eagerness to die that he recommends is madness. The Irish say they would rather die than talk about death. Rollo May says that death is pornography for Americans. It's a dirty, unmentionable word. And yet, he says, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ is to always keep death and discipline in mind. That through the cross, we are invited to open ourselves to dying to self. The paradox is that thereby death has the power to alert us to life and what life is able to offer us. The disciplined life of the disciple. The death of Jesus Christ is life-giving. Our own death to self each day is life-giving. Our continual sharing and forgiving is life-giving. It is this ongoing disciplined movement, because our culture today has only one goal, hoarding and possessing, taking and exploiting. The Word of God says we are to become persons for others, and that takes conscious effort. In confronting death each day, we see this effort as life-giving. The cross of Jesus Christ gives life. Christianity comes alive through the memory of the cross of Jesus. That's why spring comes out of winter and light comes out of darkness and resurrection comes out of dying. And we face the inevitability of our death as we also face the reality of our lives. And that's the meaning of today's parable in the gospel. Will we be prepared for our death by the quality of how we live today? Today we remember so that we will not be like the foolish virgins. Keep your eyes open. You do not know the day nor the hour. The question is, what is it? What is it that you hope for on that day and at that hour?